Good day and aloha. Welcome to the Infinite Possibilities Autism Families, Friendship, and Community Conference. It takes a village to raise a star. My next guest works with a precious life force on the earth, one that is part of the solution for a healthier planet. Forests. Trees absorb carbon dioxide, give us oxygen and water vapor, which are all things that can bring down global warming. Shade trees can reduce or replace the need for air conditioning. Children love to play in them and around them, and they are essential to our survival. I'm very honored to welcome our next guest. She is a forest therapy guide and trainer of guides. She is the general manager of the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides and Programs, and she is also a mom to a child on the autism spectrum. Welcome, Jackie Quing, to the show. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Rachel. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming today.
For sure. And I loved your introduction about how valuable trees are. And may I add that in addition to all the physical benefits, trees are also great counselors. They're great therapists.
Absolutely. Yeah, could you say a little bit more about that? About how there are great counselors and therapists?
Sure. Trees, you mentioned, children playing them. I remember playing under a willow, weeping willow tree back in China when I was a child. And I would play in them. I would, when I'm sad, I go under, their shelter. When I'm happy, I go there. I bring friends there. I talk to the tree when I'm unhappy. And I got the sense that trees are really non-judgmental and a great listener for me, and also provides comfort. And I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate. I've talked to a lot of people, and most people have memory of a favorite tree.
Yes, they certainly do. I know I've got lots and lots of memories of favorite trees from childhood. Yeah, they're beautiful company.
Yes, they are.
Can you tell us what is forest bathing and where did the term forest bathing come from?
Sure. So, here at the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides and Programs, we call it forest therapy, but people use it interchangeably with forest bathing. And so, forest bathing, I think that term in Japanese is shinrin yoku. And so it originated in Japan in the early 1980s when they experienced a big tech, boom, and people sit in front of the computer a lot and work long hours. And so the stress-related diseases definitely increased around that time. And so the Japanese government and researchers started to research the effects, the healing effects of forests on people by, measuring people's blood pressure, stress hormones, and then sending them on a slow wander through the forest, absorbing the sights and sounds for 2 to 3 hours, and then do that measurement again, and just saw tremendous benefit on the human health. So Shinrin yoku literally means forest bath. And so it's about immersing our senses as we walk through the canopies of trees and in the forest environment. So that's where that term came from. But I think the practice of being out, taking a walk in the woods, is really a pan-cultural, probably ancient practice that we modern people maybe forgot about. Mm-hmm. At some point, I think our ancestors were doing that.
Yes, absolutely. And it is just a wonderful family activity or a wonderful solitary activity to do.
Yes, yes. And it's very, very much needed, especially now.
Yes, it's desperately needed.
Desperately needed. Yeah. Because, I hear many people say that, wow, time seems to have sped up and we are always kind of on the run and getting from point A to B. There are always tasks to accomplish, goals to achieve. Mm-hmm. And so in that process, we forget to be here, right? Mm-hmm. To be in our bodies, to be in our places, mm-hmm. to connect, to slow down, to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm really passionate about mm-hmm. spreading this practice and continue to guide wherever I am. I've guided in many, many places.
I'm sure. That's wonderful. What's the most interesting place you've guided in?
Well, I'll just say the most unusual one would be I went on a honeymoon with my husband in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And because ANFT, the association I work for, mm-hmm. We've trained over 2,000 guys in over 60 countries. We really have guys everywhere. And a trained guide living in Sweden mm-hmm. reached out to me to see if I wanted to co-guide with her a walk in English. And we did that. And that was the first time my husband had to come to my walk and instead of just listening to stories. Mm-hmm. And so that was the most interesting and unusual one. It's a very different landscape. Mm-hmm. But I felt really good about it because we're trained well by using this standard sequence, to guide it. And you can guide it in forest, on beaches, in the desert, in the community garden. And during the pandemic, I guided remotely via Zoom for people who are sheltered in place in their homes. Wow. And it works.
So did you actually went out on the guide and took a camera with you? Is that how you did it?
So I would get on or off camera, mm-hmm. and people can choose to do the same, or when they come on Zoom, they can also just call in and use audio only.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand how you did that. Did they go on a walk also?
So they can join from anywhere. Some people joined from their backyards. Okay. Others went to a neighborhood park. Okay. And sometimes because of weather conditions, people had also joined just from their house, on their device, and sure. and they just follow my invitations, and we do it. Typically, the remotely guided walks are a little bit shorter. I depending on how many people, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours, mm-hmm. and it's really amazing. I remember one time, someone who did the whole walk. The whole experience from her small apartment shared that for the first time after living in that same apartment for almost 10 years that mm-hmm. she actually noticed the intricacy of the woodwork.
Oh.
Wow. That really warmed my heart. I was like, wow, okay. Uh-huh. And then how transformative that little thing was for her.
Sure.
To remind her that things are right in front of us, mm-hmm. but because our mind is always wandering and we are missing the richness of our environment.
Yes.
Because we're not paying attention.
Yes. That is so true. And even in a place like that, where even where she was indoors, there was things that she could find that would enrich her.
Yes. Yeah. Most of us have house plants that we can connect to, and everything, you know, like I have rocks.
Yeah.
Even the orange is all from nature, is part of nature. It's not like nature is somewhere out there, right? We are also nature. And so yeah, it's about connecting with ourselves, you know, with each other, with all these beings mm-hmm. that are sharing the space and sharing the planet
mm-hmm.
With us humans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like one of the main things is connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that children, especially real small children, they are very observant of the smallest things.
Yes.
And they will all of a sudden stop everything and look at an insect and on the ground or something.
Yeah.
Down there. And an adult would never see that in 100 years.
But we were children before, right? At some point,
we started to
become
children.
Disconnected. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And children are natural forest bathers.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. They have a lot to teach us.
Yes.
So how do you train someone to become a forest guide, and what does that entail?
It's a program. We'll just call it an educational program that... is at least six months plus. Mm-hmm. There are two portions. The first portion is an online portion, and that's 6 months. We go through about 14 modules, and every other week, mm-hmm. there are a lot of self explorations. Mm-hmm. For the students or guys in training, they spend a lot of time in nature, studying watersheds, doing, you know, CISPOT, journaling if they wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was doing that, I was also inspired to write poetry, which came out of nowhere. Right. And some people, their creativity, I guess, got activated or something.
Sure.
Some people had some watercolor set that they just put away somewhere, but during that 6 months they felt inspired to take that out and start to draw and paint trees and birds and butterflies, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, some people think that, oh, I'm gonna just learn the skills to guide, but it's way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more than that. Mm-hmm. So it was a life, truly, you know, a life transforming event and the program. So that's the first part. And then you get, after you complete, you know, all the assignments and all the content sessions, and then you also during that 6 months you guide 4 walks and get feedback
mm-hmm.
From both the participants but also the trainers and other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get provisionally certified, and then there's a 4-day in-person immersion where you get to meet, you know, some of your cohort mates and the trainers, and then deepen into your understanding, but also a lot of it is building community. And a lot of guys become just lifelong friends. I have a few of those.
Nice. Hmm. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How did you find out about it? What was your first connection?
So that story has to do with treat, the prize, Rachel. I was living in the eastern part of Los Angeles, and I was driving on the street called Garvey, and it's just a busy street, especially during rush hours. And I was stuck in traffic. I felt frustrated because that means I will be late in the next thing that I need to do. And in frustration, I just was staring out of my car window. Mm-hmm. And there were a group of trees. To this day, I didn't feel the need to find out exactly what kind of a trees, but I can tell you they are magnificent. Mm-hmm. That they had these big branches that are stretching out, you know, these trunks that looks really solid. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at them, there was this sensation of being seen too.
Oh, nice.
And it was probably an instant stress relief too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when the traffic started to move, mm-hmm. my mood has shifted. Like I was not frustrated anymore. I just mm-hmm. went straight home. And then a question came to me. I've lived there for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it the first time that I'm actually seeing this tree, these trees?
Right.
And so I sat in front of my computer. You know, you consult Dr. Google for everything. So I wanted to find an answer to a question that I couldn't even form. So I just typed in the Google search trees. There are all kinds of entries that showed up, like
plant
trees. Yeah, you want a nursery or you want tree trimming. But mm-hmm. I kept going, scrolling down. And at some point I hit NFT's website. You know? And I started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's this new sensation in my body that my heart was beating a little bit faster. It was like everything I read had this resonance, like I felt this resonance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's when I go, they have trained some guides. They have this interactive map where you can find a guide. And so I remember praying that they're for there to be a guide in Los Angeles, and I found a Ben who was guiding. So he was in cohort 2 of, you know, for NFT, like as somebody who got trained. So he got trained really early on, I think in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I went and got on a guided walk with him in early 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're about 2 years apart in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an extraordinary experience. A lot of emotions came up. And it was okay. I felt like I don't have to apologize. Right. I can let tears roll down.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, hold space when other people are sharing after an experience. And there's no need to have a, you know, like an agreement, like I agree or yay, or it's just being there for each other. And so after that, I said, wow, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
I want more of that.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the website, and there's this guide training. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, even if I don't become a guide, I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And And that's kind of the story, how I showed up at the guide training without knowing for sure I wanted to be a guide.
Sure. You just resonated with the trees and the connection there. And it sounds like you got a pretty strong message from the trees while you were on the freeway, like, hey, lady, slow down, you know.
Same happened, yes.
Right.
And I was able to really honor the intelligence of my heart,
mm-hmm.
instead of just, you know, following what my head tells me, right? Yes. They're both important, you know.
Yes. But,
so there was no rhyme or reason or a lot of logic to show up without knowing that I wanted to be a guide. But my heart said, yeah, go.
Yes.
You know, do this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so great. I love that. Wow. That's a great journey.
It is. It has been an adventure and learning adventure and an adventure to serve. Out of the hundreds of walks I've guided, it's like every walk has its own power and beauty, and the feedback that I receive from the participants get me excited about every walk I'm guiding. Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's just so sad that we've lost so much, and I think it's a sign of the times that we have to actually have guides to get us to pay attention that much, that, you know, it's important to get out in the woods, it's important to get out into nature, to reconnect with our own being as nature and to connect with nature.
Yes, yes, yes. I think, a guide is needed because, on one level, we take care of a lot of the logistics. We scouted out the trail. We make sure people are safe. We get wilderness first aid trained and carry, you know, a little first aid kit with us just in case. Good news is I only had to use it once and it was just a Band-Aid. So that's the good news. Because when we are out there and we're slow and we're intentional, we are paying attention, that means the likelihood of, you know, any encounters with things that are dangerous or hazardous, I think the percentage is so much lower than when we, you know, out there, maybe not as mindful and just rushing, you know, or just, you know, wanting to achieve, maybe hiking. I have to get 5 miles in today.
Right.
Although that's also important because it helps us to get outdoors and also to stay healthy.
Sure.
So that's one level. And then we go through this strenuous training to really use language that is, we call it the language of invitation. It's very invitational, and it really helps people. It's a very gentle way to help people just be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we embody this way of the guide and way of the guided. So there's a lot of, it looks like a really simple practice, but behind the scene, I think there has been a lot of training going on. So we show up in a way that facilitates and helps people shift quickly from kind of the busy mind into their feeling, sensing bodies, and to help people slow down. And I think safety and also the make that connection easier by using the right invitational language, etc.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but hey, you know, we can also do this on our own, even if it's not a full kind of a guided walk. As you show up on these walks, you pick up things that you get to carry in your own practices.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's wonderful that it is out there. I mean, because like you said, you just Google trees. I mean, you followed your heart. I mean, I think there's moments like that for a lot of people in the high-tech world, in our high-tech world. They're just all of a sudden they have that moment of awareness where like, wow, I'm really missing getting outside. I need to do something about it. Excuse me.
And people can feel once you get outside, you just naturally feel better, right? So we intuitively know that nature and outdoors is good for us.
Yes, it's so healing. Could you tell us a story you remember, a special memory of guiding a child or a family? Sorry.
No worries. You have water with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Water.
Water.
Well, this is also allergy season, right?
It is allergy season.
Yeah. There is a lot of pollen here, like from the junipers. And so my whole family, we all have some levels of allergy right now. It's the seasonal allergy, you know. Yeah, a lot of stories. I'll share something about my son, who's on the spectrum, the autism spectrum.
Wonderful.
And at first, when I was taking him out, he had a lot of anxiety, I think, because maybe when we like walk on a trail, he felt like he could fall. And so he would actually get on his hands and knees to try to crawl, you know, on the trail. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after we take pauses to sit, to listen to birds, to listen to the waterfall, on the way out, his whole posture changes. He walks with a lot more confidence and more relaxed. And because it's a walking in, and then we have to take the same route out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna, you know, like we always, there's that narrow where he would coming in, he would be on lay on his hands and knees, but going out, there's no issue.
Wow.
That was really impactful for me. I was like, wow, this is something I can so obviously see the change. Yes,
that is really powerful.
So then like I have a lot of stories. I've guided families where we would engage in some of the invitations where it could be a nature gift exchange or something like that. And it's just super bonding for a parent and a child that I have observed. And with someone on the autism spectrum, at least with my son, I needed to modify some invitations. Like I wouldn't be doing exactly the same as I would guide the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, one of the invitations would be for the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes, we're going to do a slow wander and just notice, you know, what is in motion, like what is moving. Mm-hmm. And for my son, if I just say, okay, you know, give those words and he wanders off, he may be unsure what to do, mm-hmm. which is also okay. Mm-hmm. So we've done I've modified it in a way where he could be engaged, and it's kind of fun. Sure. Like we would take turns, you know, like almost like the I Spy
sure.
game.
Yes, I would say,
oh,
yeah,
I see a little spider over there.
Yeah,
or something, you know,
sure.
Crawling, and then he would take a turn to do that.
Nice.
But sometimes I just say, yeah, we're gonna, you know, you can find a place, maybe if you want to see what's moving, and mm-hmm. I'll find a place and we'll just sit there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be doing something else, but all is welcome. Like, it's not an exercise, you have to do it a certain way.
Right.
We offer the invitation and people just follow their own bodies and they can modify it themselves. And so for my son, he often would sit for a while and then pick up a little stick or a rock. He likes to make sounds with them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I see that, I go, oh, I'm noticing how sound travels, how the sound that he was making over there is traveling to me and how I'm receiving it with my senses, with my body. Overall, it's a relaxing and also a bonding experience for family, for families and friends.
Yeah.
I've done couple walks too, where two people.
Yeah,
it's always fun. It's just fun.
Yeah. Well, it's all positive. There's really nothing negative about it at all.
I would say no. Even mm-hmm. one, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
Two friends brought their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know ahead of time, but their particular friend just has a lot of anxiety. Just high anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought that would be good for him. So mm-hmm. they brought him. Mm-hmm. And each invitation is challenging for him because he couldn't really he find it very hard to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
He find it very hard to sit still at okay. a place.
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah. So when we have a chance to share, he would share how challenging it was for him.
Mm.
So as a new guide, because I was fairly new guiding, I thought, oh, maybe this wasn't good for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I checked in with the friends later on to see how he was doing. And they said, this has been such a positive experience for him, even though it was challenging, that he's recognizing how important, like how his mind is always racing and that's contributing to his anxiety, and how important it is for him to spend intentional time in nature,
okay.
you know, to slow down. So, so I was like, oh, okay. So it was a positive experience for him, even though it was challenging.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. I know I taught kindergarten for a while, so I would sometimes explain kids that have a lot of energy as like they have a spring inside their body. So
yes.
you can't just keep a spring in a box. The spring needs to spring out of the box. So I think a person with high anxiety is like that. I know I've experienced a lot of anxiety myself, and it's very regulating to move my body when I'm feeling.
Yes, it's very
difficult to sit still in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And from that experience, I learned as a guide. For example, when I offer an invitation to just find a place where it feels good to sit,
mm-hmm.
That there's nothing to accomplish. Sometimes, depending on who shows up, because mm-hmm. I read the field, I would offer it a little differently by saying, you can find a place where your body, it feels just good for your body to sit, you know, for 15 minutes or whatever, how long the invitation is. Or it could be that you alternate between sitting and wandering, you know, in that spot. And so, yeah. So by modifying the language, it sometimes makes, makes it easier for people to adapt. Even though in the beginning we say everything is invitational and mm-hmm. just follow your own heart and body and feel free mm-hmm. to modify it, people may forget, right? So then when we give specific invitations, by wording it in a certain way can help create maybe a more positive experience.
Sure. It's being aware of that individual's needs, because we all have our own unique needs, and then the importance of modifying it according to their needs.
Yes, and it's also really good for people to experience edges, you know, because that's where we may have new realizations and grow. Like in the case of this, you know, man who had high anxiety, like it was edgy for him, but mm-hmm. then it was positive because he right. recognized, he started to see, to observe how mm-hmm. his mind was racing and how now he has the intention to take breaks from that by intentionally slowing down, even if it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get easier.
Yeah. Instead of just stuffing away the problem and ignoring mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things we learn as a guide is, you know, we are guiding gentle, safe walks, but our goal is not to, you know, avoid all edges.
Right.
It's probably not possible to do that either. Right. And so, mm-hmm. So we have a model that the forest is the therapist, mm-hmm. and the guide opens the doors, and that's what we do.
Oh,
is holding that.
That
space, yeah.
Oh,
because
the.
It's on our website too. And I believe Amos Clifford, who founded the association, came up with that saying. He also wrote a book. It's called Your Guide to Forest Bathing.
Okay.
And the subtitle is Experience the Healing Power of Nature.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's a sweet book. It's easy to read, and especially if people want to, learn more about forest bathing and maybe try it on their own, or mm-hmm. go to a guided walk. It's a good starting point.
Yeah. Where would somebody find a guided walk or a forest therapy guide? What website would you recommend?
So you can go to anft.earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that would redirect you to this longer mm-hmm. URL, which is natureandforesttherapy.earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guide directories there. And okay. we're working on putting a map where it's more visual for people to find a guide. Mm-hmm. Back when I was looking into it, there was a guide map, but there weren't so many guides back then. Now we have thousands of guides. And okay. so we have to rework the map, because, you know, then, yeah. you know, in one place you find multiple guides, which is great because people are drawn to different styles.
Mm-hmm.
We learn the same framework, but we bring our own unique style into our guide.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because you are teachers in a sense, so you have your own personality and your own little quirks and fun things about you, just like everybody else.
Yes.
Do you have any tips for parents as a forest therapy guide and or as a parent of a child on the spectrum?
I would say for everybody, right? For everybody is find time to go outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Develop a new way of interacting. Like if you're used to just hiking is great.
Mm-hmm.
But also know that it's okay to just play,
mm-hmm.
or just be and slowing down, and you don't have to cover a lot of ground. And then, you know, explore with the senses, right?
Right.
Smelling the ponderosas here, right? That's a new sensation. It's like, whoa, this tree smells so good. But if I never tried it, or if nobody has told me to do it, before becoming a forest therapy guide, I would never have done it. But now I go to any new place, I tend to smell a lot of different things, you know,
sure.
Using that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to collect some cones and rocks. I have a little nature basket at home.
Nice.
Not long ago, I got interviewed by a journalist that was writing for self.com.
Okay.
And she was asking about, you know, like nature indoors, like how,
yeah,
what are some of the tips? And mm-hmm. One of the tips I offered was that, like, you can have like a mm-hmm. little treasure chest or a nature basket, and
yes,
just put different textured things and different scents, right? In it, and that's a good thing to explore if mm-hmm. it's not convenient to go outdoors, because some people may not be mobile, you know, they may not be able to go on a trail,
right.
But they can go to a garden, or if they feel stressed, to just spend that intentional 5 minutes, 10 minutes to be playing with these nature objects,
mm-hmm.
Maybe to sit by a little tabletop fountain, to listen to the water, or even play with the water. I think animals yeah. teach us a lot too, right? Like cats
yes.
are very comfortable animals.
Yeah.
I think these are the tips. And then one other thing that I've learned by becoming a guide is how to truly drop our judgment of mm-hmm. our children, of other people,
mm-hmm.
and to embrace, accept and embrace,
mm-hmm.
Instead of wanting to fix. Because
yeah.
I know as a parent, mm-hmm. you know, before my second son, who's on the autism spectrum, was even born, I was like, you know, parent to my first son, and there was always things I want to fix about him, you know, because
right.
in the name of like having him grow up to be a better person.
Right.
I don't know that worked really well,
mm-hmm.
especially during his teenage years.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't really seeking a fix
or
yeah. advice.
Right.
He really wanted to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to share, and he wanted somebody to be there, right? A parent to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've learned along the way, and it's great by going through the training and becoming a forest therapy guide that I've really noticed that my relationships have really improved in my relationship.
Yeah.
With myself, with my yeah. loved ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, and friends, that there's just a lot less of that should.
Yeah.
Should, right?
Yeah.
Or I wish. And there's more,
right.
Like, wow, this is, you know, this is how it is, or this is, you know, who he is, and it's all good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's all good. Absolutely. Well said, Jackie. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure. I'm really happy that you're doing this, and you have the heart to really, you know, put this podcast together, mm-hmm. and to build community, to help and support other parents that may be experiencing a lot of stress, whether they have mm-hmm. children on the spectrum or not, right? That just being a parent can be stressful.
Absolutely. And I love how the forest is just there waiting for us to go and release our stress.
Yes, 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 mm-hmm. yes. And then as we interact and do that, I also imagine that the forest is happy that we are there.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. Well, that is so beautiful. Thanks so much, Jackie, and I'll...
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I wish you the best success in all of your projects, and that your vision come to fruition for the good of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I will definitely keep you posted.
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. You have a great afternoon.
All right. Thank you. You too, Jackie.
All right. Bye, Rachel.
Bye-bye for now.